you ready, Mary?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Is she sleeping on the lawn?
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting of Walton Hills, Tuesday, June 4th at 7 p.m. First order of business, call to order.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Here.
All council members here except for Mr. Spitznagle. Can I have a motion to excuse Mr. Spitznagle?
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to excuse Councilman Spitznagle from today's meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Fred.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlouwski.
Yes.
Nielsen.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Spitznagle excused. Can I ask for approval of the COW meeting minutes of May 7, 2019?
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Laura.
I'd like to ask for approval of COW meeting minutes of May 7, 2019.
Second.
Second by Denny.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlouwski.
Yes.
Nielsen.
Yes.
Linville.
Yes.
Okay. Meeting minutes passed. Can I ask for approval of the COW meeting minutes of May 14th, 2019?
Mayor, I'd like to ask for approval of COW minutes of May 14th, 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
Nielsen.
Second by Fred.
Councilperson Allen.
Yes.
Terlouwski.
Yes.
Nielsen.
Yes.
Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Okay, meeting minutes passed. Any persons having business before council? Come on up. Oh.
Lee Nielsen, Tulip Lane. So I have a question. There were some years back, I remember reading that there was potentially a dog park to go at T.J. Young Park. Anybody remember that? I remember several discussions about it, and I remember reading about it in the OWL. There was going to be a dog park. I was all excited. Am I wrong?
No. I didn't know if I was going to wait till you were done.
That's the question. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. Not at all, Lee.
So I'm curious about what happened to the dog park. I'm a dog lover, and I have a big dog. Then I go to dog parks, and I walk in the woods and all that kind of good stuff. I know dogs aren't allowed in the park today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
People bring their dogs to the park.
Well,
I've seen dogs.
There's no doubt. We have signs, and there's nobody up there patrolling it, you know, 24/7.
But if I bring my dog to the park?
If I were to see you, I would go up to you and say,
"Please,
Lee, we don't allow dogs at the park. We do have signs posted. I've done it at a number of." Time, and I shouldn't say, sometimes there's events going on, sometimes there's just one person up there.
Right.
I've told them a number of people. Some people are receptive and some can be unreceptive. I've also done the same thing at our lake club. Our lake club doesn't allow dogs. Probably about 10 years ago, I even had to tell a family member to take their dog home. Okay, and that didn't make me too popular.
So I have two questions. My question is really, what happened to the dog park? And the second question is, what's the consequence other than you fussing at me if I take my dog to the park?
Well, I missed that. What was the
What's the consequence other than you fussing at me if I take my dog to the dog park? So do we have signs that say no dogs. So what?
Would she be
fined?
Yeah.
Fined or whatever? Yeah. I just want to know.
Okay. Well, let me start with the. I was on the recreation committee at that time. I don't know if I chaired it or I was on it, but actually myself, Mr. Spitznagle, and Les Sheeler went to a few dog parks. Actually, we drove to them. And I'll tell you a cute story about that. But we actually went to the dog parks, looked at it. We had a lot of discussion. And at that time, they were popular. Lakewood actually has a very, at that time, had a very successful one. Then we went out to one either in Streetsboro or so, I can't remember, and they were they had a dog bite somebody in the a kid in the dog park. The village kind of, and I have to remember the community, go back, because it's been a while. You're right, it's been a while. And there was a liability thing there, so some communities backed away from, some continued to have them. I don't know to this day if you know, I couldn't tell you what communities have and what don't. At that time, I was pretty well versed on it, and I think we backed off. It was more of a liability thing at that time.
Okay. So it was an insurance question.
It was more insurance. More of that, because we were getting serious about it. We were even thinking about a certain area.
I remember
at the park. We looked into it, and you know, Walton Hills is an area we have a lot of. Almost all of us love our animals because we're in kind of a rural setting. It's a nice place to have a dog or a cat with the room for them to roam. But I couldn't. I'd have to look back at that. I'd have to really to give you
so
a.
So it just sort of floated away.
Well, we made a decision. It wasn't just floated away. Council made a decision not to do it
because of the liability.
That's what I'm thinking. I'd have to go back. I wish Brian maybe was here to confer. It was me, Brian, and Les. And I remember that because we drove to some dog parks together. Because I'll give you a kind of a cute story. You wouldn't know this, Lee, but at that time we were going through a lot with the fire contract. And me, Lee, and Les, I should say, not Lee. Me, Les, and Ryan were kind of at odds with different things, but politically. And so I said, who's going to drive? And Les says, he's going to drive. And Brian says, you sit in the back. Me and Les are going to sit in front. And I looked at both of them. I said, I don't know if I want to go in this car. We all started laughing. Because in the big scheme of things, it's, you know, we all, you do what's best for the village. And that's what we did. But I'd have to, let me look back on that. But we did, it didn't just die. We it came to council and we made a decision on it. You know, from what I remember.
Okay. Did you go to Bow Wow Beach?
No, I never took my dogs to any of those.
Oh, it's great.
Things.
It's great.
I took my dog to class, you know, obedience trainings with a group, which I enjoy, but never to a, you know, just to a
okay.
park.
So it was a liability issue from your perspective.
From what I remember.
What you remember. Okay.
Yes.
So second question is, are there any fines if we disobey a village ordinance? Not that I would do that. Just asking.
As mayor, I'm not sure what the is for the dog thing. I mean, I don't know if Bill knows.
You can't drink in certain areas.
Right. I don't know if we have any teeth in that. That's something I'd have to look into.
Mayor, there is none.
There is none? Okay.
So why do we have ordinances if there's no consequence?
Well, I don't know if there's an ordinance that
there
with
is.
That. Is there?
It's
okay.
In the zoning code.
It's in the zoning. But I have to look to see. Maybe we can. I don't know. I don't know.
Let's generate some income.
Right.
All right.
But I will tell you this. Even for the people who weren't so receptive, they did remove their dogs. And maybe because, you know, most of the time I've been a council person, I told them that I'm a council person, and so maybe they thought, you know, I could get them removed from the park.
But you can't patrol it all the time.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, no one can. That's the benefit.
So if there's absolutely no consequence.
Wouldn't it be sad if we had to do something to somebody because of a dog situation only? Wouldn't that be sad? Isn't it sad that I can't go up to somebody and say the sign's posted, we don't allow dogs here. I'm a resident here. I respect it. I love dogs. You're a resident here. You respect it.
I get that. I mean, I think it's...
Yeah.
I want people to be civil to each other.
Exactly.
And to respect whatever the expectations
right.
are. But I also think that if there is regular just ignoring of community expectations, there should be some consequences.
Well, now you've changed that by making a thing. Who's ignoring it?
So if there are people regularly in the park with their dog, and I can't take my dog because it's against the rules, but these
right.
are folks that say, it's. Who cares it's against the rules?
Right. I don't know if we have any regulars up there.
Well, you don't go patrol it. I don't go patrol it.
Right.
So
we don't know that.
That we don't know.
That's the
but that does make sense that there are certain things we have expectations about that if people don't meet those expectations there's a consequence.
I would agree with that.
All right.
So if we have to put that, if people feel we should put that in place, then we can bring it to this body. I'd like to research to see if there is anything, because I do know we have a go ahead, Carol.
Well, I just want to say that when the police officers are up there, when there's like baseball games and stuff, they will tell people to leave. They cannot have dogs up there. Carmine's up there. She will approach them. If I'm up there, we will approach them and tell you to leave. Because there are signs posted. And I love dogs. it doesn't have anything to do with
it. Is it the same thing that happens if I have a beer in my bag?
Well, what, do I have to go up to you through your bag? I don't know that I have that right to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't
but
answer that
I don't
either.
Know about that, but I just know if you're walking around with your dog and there's kids up there running and that kind of thing.
So incidentally, if people see it, they will make a comment about
yes.
it.
Yes. I mean, and we assume that because there's signs posted that people will read them and say, gee, I'm not allowed to have my dog here. I shouldn't be up here.
All right. I don't think we should be beating people up, but I do
no,
think that
no,
we,
up.
I do think if we have an expectation, there should be some consequence if the expectation is not met. That's simply it. And I would like to know what happened to the dog park, and could we look at it again?
All right.
Okay?
And I yes. remember the dog park thing, and I think Maddie was on council at that time.
Yeah. It's yeah. it's like 10
it,
years
it was
ago.
A long
it's before I was.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yes, I've gone through three dogs.
Wow.
So,
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead,
Mr. Mayor.
Or Danny Hubert, I think, was before you.
Jennifer had a comment.
He what? He was because he was going to get up.
Mayor,
go ahead.
I just wanted to let Mrs. Nielsen know that although the consequences may not be great, my son during his spring break took my dog, our dog, for a walk, went up to the park, and sure enough, a cop came up behind him. I'm like, don't you know? He's like, I didn't know there was a sign there. So it made a big impression on him, I'll let you know that.
Go ahead.
Hubert Reno, 7067 Cry Drive. My question is directed at Mr. Mayor and Mrs. Council President. What is the current status on the Northfield Road and Alexander Road intersection? The subject goes back about 4 years because of the traffic at the Raxino. From what I understand, CEI agreed to move a power poles and make their improvements without any cost to Walton Hills. In the meantime, the village engineer provided a quote on April 2nd this year. Are there any plans to cancel the construction or the improvement of the Northfield Alexander Road intersection?
No.
If not, why would CEI ask for $500,000 to be paid by Walton Hills in case it gets canceled?
Well, that I couldn't answer. I do know we passed the last meeting, we passed the contract for them to do the improvement. Okay.
That was for the resurfacing.
And that was
for
the resurfacing.
Resurfacing.
Right, that's right, that was for the resurfacing. That, I know Jennifer put that in her newsletter. I'm not exactly sure I couldn't answer to that, whether or not they would come to us if we did cancel that. I'm sure if that were to happen, if we were to cancel it, we would talk to them. We just wouldn't go and pay them and see. But our plans are to move forward with that project. That's something. So it's at this time, I don't see us, unless council feels different, that project being canceled at this time. So it's already in the stages.
The bids have been approved.
Yeah, the bids have been approved.
It's going to CA Agresta. So we've already gone out for bids and accepted the best and lowest bid for the intersection,
right.
CA Agresta. So the project will get started this spring and summer. I guess it's already summer. This summer.
And, you know, with that project, you know, we've talked about that project, and we've talked about that project with Tom Jordan, our economic development consultant, and with the surrounding communities. Really, the goal is to get that Northfield corridor where it should be, okay? And that's looking nicer, being more up to date. And if things go right, I think it's going to be it's going to be well needed. We're still hoping for some good things to happen. We did put a short thing in the journal about some of the economic development things. Couldn't tell you much about the Ford because of the non-disclosure agreement me and Tom did sign. There was an article, I don't know if anybody's seen it, I mean it's public record, there was an article in Cranes, the end of Cranes, it went out I think May 27th, there was a big article about the Ford Motor Company up there. We didn't comment much because of the non-disclosure agreements, but it just kind of gives you an idea. There's
things are happening.
There's a lot of hopefully good things going on. We'll leave it at that. So I think that intersection is going to be something that moving forward here that needed to be done. So I hope that answered your question.
My question also is $500,000 cost for
Oh, I didn't.
Well, that was an estimate of the cost for them to move the poles. So we were on their timeline. We were on their schedule for them to move those poles backwards in the, out of the right of way in the intersection. So that was an approximate cost that if we were not to go through with the project, our engineers had said we may be responsible for that amount.
You know, that doesn't mean we would have paid it. We would at least fought on that. But, and with that said, CEI doesn't get involved. You know, we just, a community like this can't just go and say, hey, we want you to move the poles. We want you to do this without them feeling comfortable with it or understanding the reason why. You know, there was a lot submitted there on an engineering side on why. There was some, work from the other communities, too. They just, they're not going to take that risk either. Knowing that, you put it up, you spend the money, getting money, you might even have to sue or whatever. And they don't want to do that. They're not in the business to sue communities for their money. So they also felt there was a need there. We're a small community. We can't dictate a power company to do some things without showing a need. It's just how it works. I wish we had that much influence, but we don't. Maybe a larger community that spends a lot of money or has using a lot of their power might have a little pull, but they agreed to that and they felt it was the right thing to do for that corridor and that corner. So, anybody else have anything? Come on, Mr. Harkin.
Denny Harkai, 7120 Hickory Drive. The village has laws for certain reasons, of course. One law that everybody knows we have is the speed limits, and we're enforcing that. I think if a police officer stops someone that's going 60 miles an hour on Alexander Road, no two ways about it, they get a citation. Is that correct? With very few exceptions, I'm sure. Okay, as well as should be. Laws are for the protection of everyone, and I believe that whoever comes into this village, whether they're a resident or not, should respect the laws. Regarding this business about dogs in the park, earlier today, I took and read every word of the ordinance that we have on our books about those rules and regulations, and it includes more than just what you're supposed to and not supposed to do with pets. It includes alcohol beverages and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's good reasons why we have that. We don't want someone coming in here, whether they live here or not, and taking advantage of us. We're real nice guys, real nice guys. We love our pets. It even says so on the signs. But I don't like the idea that people come in here and take advantage of it and get away with it. I object to that. Regarding this business of dogs, I have to tell you the truth. I was up there one night watching a baseball game. There were three people there with dogs. I called the police. I learned a long time ago that it makes no sense for me, whether I'm the mayor or a resident or whoever, to go ahead and confront somebody because all you get is trouble. You could be actually, in today's world, dead right. And that's not my business to enforce the law. I leave that up to the police. That's why we have a huge budget for a police department, who I honor for their service every time I see them. And I think we should let them handle those affairs. That's my opinion. And if someone wants to disagree with me, go ahead and disagree. That's up to you. But I watched the policeman confront one of the people that had a dog. He was very nice about it. I stood right next to him and listened to the conversation. The guy said, well, we only have three more innings to go, and then I'll leave. It's my opinion that that the policeman should have written him a citation and ushered him out of the place, whether his kid was playing third base or not. That's what I think. On Sunday, I was up at the racetrack, and I was leaving about 4:30. There was a party going on up at the pavilion. I'm sure that people that sign up for those parties read the contract and agree to the rules and regulations. I watched somebody in a dark-colored SUV let a great big white dog out of the car and just run free all over the place. I called the police, but they didn't get there in time to confront the people. I was very unhappy to see that happen. I think that the entire problem could be solved very, very simply. We already have some signs that say we love our pets, but not in the park. Suppose we add one more sign that says, this is the ordinance number that backs this up, that you know, you're not supposed to have alcohol, you're not supposed to have pets, whatever. And that if you are breaking the law, you get a $250 fine. I would bet that if some night a policeman knew when the baseball games were going on, for example, I'm not picking on baseball players, don't get me wrong, but if a policeman would know the baseball schedule, show up there maybe about the third inning or so, take a little cruise around. Oh, you have a dog. By the way, here's a citation. It's $250. We'll see you in court if you want to object to it. That's what I think should happen. Now, maybe people agree with me, but to me that makes a whole lot of sense. And I would bet you, you told me before that you've talked to the guy that runs the baseball program about the dogs. Apparently it hasn't done any good because he doesn't respect our laws either. Otherwise, he would have done something to make it happen, to make it stop. So that's what I think. Any discussion on that subject?
Well, Mr. Harkai, here's what we can do. I think, you know, that could be go to, want to take it to the safety committee, or I can talk to the chief, and we can look into that, and council can have any discussion they want on that. You know, find out if there's anything. I just want to make sure in place if the police do anything, if there's an ordinance, and what they do. If I would be curious to see, like you mentioned, what I'd like to hear what the chief would say if the resident or non-resident says to the police officer, I don't want to take my dog home. I'd like to see what they would do next. So I'm curious to see that, and that's something, you know, see what they do from there. But yeah, you can have as much discussion as we want.
That's
up to council. If they wanna discuss it further, that's fine. We can.
I can't imagine that a policeman.
Hold on.
I can't imagine that a policeman whose job is to enforce the law would just simply say, "Oh, that's all right. Forget about it." They wouldn't say that if they caught a guy going 90.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Center.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I can't. I have depth. Doesn't depth? It's up to council. You know, to me, I haven't had my experience up there, and I go up there quite a bit. You know, you see
so
me
why?
Up there. I walk the track. I go up there for games. I go up there with Connor, my grandson, and me and my son. We shag balls. We do that quite a bit. I would say I'm pretty visible up at that park. In fact, sad part is, though, when I'm visible up the park, there's nobody up there to see me. Because most of the time when I go up there, there's nobody there, and I'm by myself. If I would say we go usually this time of year, baseball season, because he's playing, we go up there at least 2 to 3 times a week, and out of those 2-3 days, I see nobody, believe it or not. I see nobody. Once in a while, I see maybe a mother and a father pushing a child, probably like you, see them. I'll see you. Me and you see each other.
I'm up there.
Yeah. and I'll see a few other people that walk the track along with us. The sad part is our park's so underused. I'm just going to tell you, it's so underused. I wish we had enough people using that park to really, I feel, to warrant all that. Most of my time, I'll tell you, it kind of reminds me of the lake. You go to the lake Monday through Friday in the evening, there's nobody there. I used to hear things, oh, there's parties going on Friday nights. I go down there on a Friday night, me and Mary are sitting there by ourselves. We look at each other and say, I wish there was a party going on.
Tom and D'Amico and Mitch play poker on Friday nights.
Now, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to have it all and filtered with a bunch of people from, you know, that wouldn't respect it like we do as residents. But there's sometimes I look at those fields and I say, isn't it sad that we got three beautiful fields up there? There's kids. I grew up in the city, and, you know, we played in an empty field. We had nothing. We didn't have organized baseball. We traveled from park to park. That was it, with T-shirts on. I wish we had a park like that. When I see that, I think there are so many kids that would love to be playing on a baseball field that looks like a baseball field.
Well, it's beautiful.
And it's sad. I wish we could really warrant. To me, I think if our police went up there, they wouldn't, as often as they go, they wouldn't find anybody to ticket. But it's up to council. You want to look into it, that's fine. In some ways, isn't it wonderful that we have such a quaint community? But in some ways, it's just kind of sad that those fields aren't filled with kids. I remember when me and Fred were younger, and Carol and a lot of us here, our kids were younger, that those ball diamonds were happening. And it was so nice. I get done with my sons, we go and watch one of the girls play and stuff. But, you know, these are legitimate concerns. What council wants to do it, you could talk about it now. This is a rec committee. You guys want to talk about the concerns that Lee has and Mr. Harakai has, this is the perfect place. This is our rec committee.
Before you go any further, I have one more comment.
I don't want
you to feel like I'm interrupting you.
No, you're not at all.
I read in the OWL the police reports. Or is that the journal? I think the OWL.
Well, yeah, they're in the OWL, the police blog.
And policemen stopped somebody for speeding. And while they were at it, or for a bad license plate or whatever, while they were at it, they found out he didn't have a driver's license. Also, by the way, they smelled alcohol, he was drunk, or he had drugs in the car, marijuana, whatever. I see nothing whatsoever wrong with a policeman who sees a person with a dog who's violating law number one. Oh, by the way, sir, let's have a look inside that cooler and see what you have there. And I guarantee you that if that happened about once, maybe twice, that would pretty much put the end to all of the crap with the dogs. If there's a rebuttal to that, let's hear it.
Well, the only thing I can say to that, I can't sit here and say that doesn't happen. I can't sit here and say that our police don't go up to that park and they see somebody that's suspicious to them, they don't question them. Because I'll tell you what, I think when our police see someone that's suspicious, they question them, okay? And that's
absolutely
what it's, and that's their job. So I'm sure they probably do that. I can tell you this, and me and you've talked about this, when the lights go out, and that's why we have that gate now at the park, there's things that happen at that park that would kind of shock you. We talked about it how many years ago when someone was smearing poop on the walls in the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
And we set up cameras.
I remember that.
That's all public. We set up cameras. We talked at it at this body. I mean, our police spent time, and they, guess what? They stopped it.
By the way, the police...
So they did a good job.
There are surveillance cameras at the park, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
There was the event I'm talking about with the big white dog that was running free. Sunday at 4:30, if the go back and review the surveillance cameras, you will see what I'm talking about. Because
the camera
probably points there.
Okay. We believe you. Okay. I don't see no...
Well, I didn't make that up. I didn't make that up.
Why wouldn't we?
No,
why wouldn't?
No reason.
I just want to say, I agree with you. Because there are signs posted that say there's no dogs. I know we have all this park program going on. We have rentals. And people, I don't want to walk in poop. I love dogs, but I don't want to walk in poop. I don't want kids running and sliding into poop. Okay? And that is happening. So we don't want it up. I love dogs, but And on all of our paperwork, it says no dogs, including Player's Eye information says no dogs. But people still do it.
And he tells them.
Yes.
He tells the coaches.
So it's the important and I tell the police, if somebody has a dog, please tell them to, you know. And even the parents that come to pick up their kids, sometimes they have a dog. Well,
you can walk
in your car, and that's what we tell them.
You can
bring your dog, but it can't come out of the car. And we told Rob Kelman one time, you can't have the dog. I mean, we try our best to parole it, but...
I think what Lee and Denny are saying, though, like, one thing... For some reason, I thought I seen a sign somewhere, but maybe it's been a while. And signs are thing, having something, even if it just says per ordinance or something like that, or we institute a fine and you put a small fine like some parks do, $50 or $100. Those are things we can do. And
I'd say $250 would get their attention.
Well, even that. I mean, but those are something we can think about. You know, it's inexpensive to put a sign and stuff.
Mr. Mayor,
I think it's
a good idea. I think the ordinance should be listed, and I think there should be some fine agreed upon, whether it's $250 or $100, because I know I walk my dog. You see me. I go by Spitznagel's house, and you're driving around. I always carry a bag with me.
I see that.
Because I don't think it's right to leave your mess somewhere else. So,
of course not.
You know,
it's not fertilizer.
No, and there are other people who don't do that because I see others. But you don't want to step in it, and I don't want to step in it at the lake club or anything else. And I love my dog.
Well, it sounds like everybody agrees on this.
Them.
Let's do something about it.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is, Denny, we can't do what we'll do right now. We have another. We can put it on the agenda for next week, too. In the meantime, we can discuss it with the police department, kind of do a little rich, see what a reasonable fine is to come up with, and we can talk about it in the next meeting.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Laura.
I was in the police academy for the last 10 weeks, and one of the questions were when a police officer stops someone for speeding or whatever they're doing, they stop them. And he goes up to the car, and that person will not talk to him, will not open their mouth, will not say a word. They're a free man. They don't believe in government. They don't, I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to listen. I don't have to, you know, da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff. So I believe, and I cannot believe we don't have something in the ordinance.
There isn't. Nothing.
Well, then there should be. An ordinance, there should be a sign. Under that sign about there's not allowed to have dogs, there should be an ordinance number so you can quote it to that person, you know, and even in your paperwork, you know, to quote that there's an ordinance, whatever the ordinance is, to create one to stop, you know, because you're going to get somebody that's going to say, what do you mean, you know, just so you can back it up with.
And leave the confrontations up to the police.
I'll talk to you.
Because you could be dead right.
1064.02.
And knowing the police officers, a lot of them would have just said, you know, okay, you're going to be here two more innings. Don't do it again. You know, we have rules and whatever.
We're nice guys, but we shouldn't be that nice.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of those people that are up there are not Walton Hills residents.
On top of it all. How many baseball players does the village have, actually? How many kids are playing ball that live in the village?
I don't know.
Last I heard, it was two.
Mayor?
Yeah.
I think in our ordinances, you'll always find a failure to cooperate, some kind of clause in those ordinances, that if you don't cooperate with the police, they can take more serious action against you. And I agree with, I think a $250 fine is very motivational, and that's what I would support.
What is our litter fine? Do we have no litter? Do we have no littering thing?
$250 also.
There
we do
go.
Have a fine.
Yeah,
yes.
We do have a fine.
Well, dog crap is littering.
Well, I do not have a dog, but a friend of mine has a dog, and I do walk that dog. She lives in a condo, and they can have animals, but they have an ordinance. If you do not pick up their business, the little doggy's business, there is a penalty for it. You know, so I think we have to back up anything we say. As a former tax administrator, the first things out of someone's mouth is, where is it written? You know, so.
Another thing, Mayor, is people do not want to clean up after themselves or after their animals. Mm-hmm. And that should be addressed in some manner. Because I know if I don't take my dog out for general walks, but I do a lot of cleaning in the yard, I know, because I see it. But when I'm out walking, I see where people have failed to clean up after their dog or their animal, if you will. So that's another thing that could be addressed as well. Thank you.
Good. But I'm going to throw something out to you. Lee, you're not going to like this, but think about this. It just came to me now. Okay? Lee would like to see a dog park.
Yes.
Okay? So we put the dog park where? Up at the park?
What's the boundary?
But now you don't want dogs. Yeah. Okay? So I'm going to go to the ball game, and you're going to come up to me and say, no dogs. Say, I'm going to that dog park. Okay? So I'm going to continue to go to the dog park, and then I'm going to drift over.
Yeah.
I'm just being devil's advocate. That's a sensitive thing, because if you're going to have, in the same facility, you're going to have a dog park, and then you're going to say no dogs, what are you going to say? You got to just walk down this aisle? Mm-hmm. Now, if you had the dog park at a different facility, that's very easy. But just think about what we're saying here. You go to a dog park, and not saying we're doing a dog, I mean, that's just something council, not that you can't change it, but you're in a tough situation. Think about that. It's like saying you can't play hardball, but you got a hardball field here, and it's up to you. Well, it's manageable right now. It's very manageable, but we're saying actually to tighten it up, and then you're saying, you know what I mean? I'm just being devil's advocate, Lee. This body can because you get it. It's very, very, very true.
Okay, all of that being said, what's the plan for carrying on the dialogue to the next level?
Does council want to take it to the next COW meeting? Talk about putting a fine in place?
Sure.
Yeah.
You can do that next week, or we want to do it now.
Well, go ahead, Fred. Fred, Mr. Mayor. Safety chairman.
Yeah, what's wrong with now?
No, what I'd like to do is have our committee get together, but I'd like to meet with the chief and talk with him
between now and next week
and see what, you know, what would be reasonable. You're throwing out numbers, 250, you know, 150, whatever, you know, I'm just saying, talk to the chief and see what, you know, what maybe he would suggest and what would be reasonable, and what we could do to enforce it. I know personally I've been up there. I go up to check the drainage because I put the drainage in the ball diamond. So when I'm up there, it's raining and there's nobody there. And I've been up there when there's been outside people up there with pit bulls and letting them run. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and they're running loose and they're letting them, you know, they're tearing up the hole just everywhere. But again, there's, and like you say, Don, there's nobody up there. It's raining out because I can't check the drainage if the water isn't running, so, you know. So, but again, yeah, I understand. No, it's, to me, it's a dangerous, you know, that's the kind of situation. Let's say one of the families goes up there and you know.
Dogs will be dogs.
That's, I mean, they throw their dog in the car. Whoever it is with their kid, you know, kid's been bit. They're not going to be looking for license plates or anything else. Those people throw the dog. They're out. They're gone. They'll never be back, you know. And I understand. That's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So I think the best way, we're not going to jump right tonight and jump in the fire, but we'll get the ball rolling here. And we'll talk with our committee. We'll talk with the chief, and we'll get it started, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like we're all on the same team. And if we take the dialogue to the next level next week, that's a smashing idea.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Sure. You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I would think to call some other communities to see if they have an ordinance and how they back it up. You know, if they have, you know, first time, you know, it's this, and the second time it's that, you know. And also I think it's an insurance factor. You know, we probably, because
it's
we
liability.
Do not allow them, you know, so technically,
well, we
you know, if
we,
you know.
Right.
So it's.
And that we're not liable for any. There's a sign also. Play at your own risk.
Okay, who's going to look into looking at the other communities?
I'll check some there.
Okay.
I'll get a note on it.
Okay, so I'll put that for next COW meeting. So we'll have a recreation meeting. You necessarily don't have to be here, Carol.
I know, I was just...
No, I know you have a commitment for next week. That's no, we'll talk. No, it's, okay. We got the agenda. I know you mentioned you got somewhere on the next Tuesday. Okay. Any other, we're still on recreation, any other discussion? I know we were going to go, go ahead. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
This has nothing to do with your recreation.
Oh!
We're still on.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're
right.
Still.
But that's,
still
we morphed into seven. That. Yes, we morphed into that.
Been so long, I forgot what I came up here for.
Don't feel bad, Bill. That would be me.
That comes with age.
You got it. That's okay.
My neighbor next door to me has a pond. Now, the old neighbor that lived there did nothing with this pond for years and years and years. And it was kind of shallow, and the mung and crap flowed through my yard. But I never complained about it. Now I got a good neighbor in there, a young man come in there with a backhoe, and he's digging out the lake and making it deeper so he has nice clear water, and he wants to improve the property. He took a lot of that stuff out from the lake, and facing Egbert Road, he built a big pile here and put some pine trees on there so it looks nice. And the village come and stopped him from working. And a lady complained. Now, I don't know what she complained about, the noise or him doing something different or what, but she was did not mention who her name was, but I think if she's got a complaint, she should fess up and say what her name is and what her complaint is. I'm concerned about it because this man is really doing a lot for that property that's never been done before. So maybe you could look into this. Huh?
Yeah. Bill, just to... If, you know, I'll talk to Mr. Kalman. If we stopped it, there would be a reason why we stopped it. As you know, attending a lot of these meetings and stuff, when it comes to ponds, drainage, you do have to come before the village, get permits a lot of times, have it looked at, because we all know you can't change the natural flow of water. I don't know if that's the case there. I have no idea. But what I can do is talk to Mr. Kalman, you know, our street commissioner, and see if he's the one who stopped it, he's aware of it, and go from there.
He's got a big backhoe, you know, one of these.
Yeah.
And he goes around the edge and he's digging it out.
He's trying.
And I said, why are you doing that? He said, I want the water to be nice and clear for the fish to live in, which is makes sense to me.
Right.
But they stopped him from working altogether. And a lady in the back, someplace back there, complained about it. But I think if she's got a complaint, she should fess up and say who it is and what her problem is. Thank you.
Well, that I can't answer. I know people try to be very discreet. But the bottom line is, if somebody complains about something, it's our job to do. We just listen to about, if somebody's complaining about something, we look at it. And Rob goes out and looks at it. And if they're not compliant, then he does have to enforce it. I'm certainly no one stops somebody because they don't want to for them to make their property better. We all know that. So before I can comment to you why he stopped it or if he stopped it, if it was us or maybe another regulatory somebody else, you know, the sewer district or somebody like that, or sometimes the EPA gets involved with ponds. I just don't want to comment, Bill, until I find out.
Yes. The lady complained, she lives back there someplace. I don't know whether it's the noise or just
right. You know, I could tell you in the role as mayor, I've had a few people approach me about ponds and different things, you know, Don Sheehy, our engineers, get involved and stuff because, you know, there's a lot there, too. You know, you just can't dig a hole and fill water. There's regulations. There's EPA things that we're permitted through that we have to inspect and follow. So let me find out about that before we comment. I don't want to give bad information.
This is the better half here.
The better half.
She's the complainer.
You know, okay. Rob came up and talked to Paul and said, you have to stop because someone complained, and he didn't say who or anything, that you were the water was draining in their property. Now, this man lives here. There's houses around him. Now, he doesn't know what neighbor it is. He's thinking, well, this neighbor doesn't like me. This neighbor doesn't like me. If you come to a person and say, you cannot do that because someone complained, they should tell them what person complained. Because we don't want a bad neighbor. I mean, he's not going to like us anymore. And he's a wonderful neighbor. And it does not come on our property or anybody else's. So whoever it was, the way Rob said it to him. But I think you should change your laws. When someone comes up to you and says, your neighbor complained, okay, who's the neighbor? And tell it. That's it.
I think they do. I mean, if there's a police...
Gene, I'm not going to comment, but I'll just comment on the employee with Rob. Rob's job is to go out there and things. So if the gentleman is directing that water, as that person said, Rob would look at it, and if it's true, they have to correct it. If it's not, then he would allow that person to continue. So let's do a little research on that because.
But he should tell who that person was. That's what I feel.
Well.
Not name anybody,
just
a general person.
Thank you. Any other? Go ahead.
There's such a thing, it's called an attractive nuisance, where how deep is he going to dig this? You know, you get some kid that comes along, you know, so I'm sure there's, you know, he has to abide by some kind of rules, or he just can't dig a hole.
Oh, no, there's all, you dig a pond, you have to get a permit, and it's regulated, and there's specs you have to meet, and it's costly. We have a couple people in the village that are looking into now that are having discussions with our engineers and have had discussions, and one of our biggest issues here is managing storm water and water in the village. I guess we are still on persons having business before council. I got ahead of to our. Go ahead, Josephine.
Yeah, don't be in such a hurry.
Josephine, 17850 Edward Road. We're putting another camera up, and that's going to be across from Ford Motor Company. Speed camera?
It is up.
It is up. Okay. Now, that's a divided highway. So it's going to get people going both ways?
No.
Westbound?
No.
Just going west.
Just one way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming into
the village.
Okay. Now, if they're speeding in Oakwood Village and a policeman's chasing them, then they come into Walton Hills and our camera catches them, who gets the ticket? They get the ticket from Oakwood. If you speed in Oakwood, the policeman can chase you and stop you in the next community. Is that correct?
Two tickets.
Yeah.
So they get two tickets. We give them a ticket.
Yeah.
Oakwood gives them a ticket.
Yeah. You're bad in one. You're bad in the other.
I will. As far as the two communities, I won't comment, but I will comment on what happens if our policeman's following you. He's going after you for a speeding ticket, and you go through the camera. They don't make you, I think the chief says they don't make you pay both, from what I remember him saying. That's if in our jurisdiction. That if they're in pursuit, or they're catching you right at the same time, they pull you over and you go through the camera, So I think they give you the one with the points. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
Yeah, well, so Oakwood Village is chasing you.
Oakwood, I don't know about. Now you're getting two communities involved.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. If a person is going west, they're on Alexander.
Correct.
In Oakwood, the police is now chasing him. They come into Walton Hills. The camera hits them. The police then finally get, they finally stop. So that ticket belongs to Oakwood because they were in Oakwood Village when they first started to speed. And what I don't understand is why we don't have one going the other direction when they're speeding in Walton Hills. I know we got one by the church, but maybe they could start at Dunham Road. You know, they could be on Dunham Road, make a right-hand turn, and then speed. There's quite a couple of miles between Dunham and Oakwood Village. So why was it decided to be put going west instead of going east?
That was a decision Gasco made, the company who pays, that's their cameras, they pay for it, okay? They make recommendations to us where to put the cameras because they pay for them. It's no investment on us, okay? Because if we were investing, we probably would have the cameras even in some different places where people, but they felt that was a place where they would capture. They felt there was a lot of speeders. And their suggestion was they wanted to put it that way. I'd have to, why they don't have it going the other way, I would have to ask.
Also, it was their decision.
Yeah, it was their decision. Because it's their investment, Josephine.
But my only concern is
they pay the $90,000 for the camera.
Yeah, well, whatever. It was their decision to put it wherever they wanted to. But I'm just thinking, if the Oakwood police are chasing them, they're because they started off speeding in Oakwood, and they finally stop them in Walton Hills, our camera catches them, so they're getting should get two tickets.
Well, if Oakwood's chasing them, and they go past our camera, and they haven't pulled over by then, chances are they're not pulling over.
No, they pull off. I've seen them pull off.
Not
saying if it happens.
Right.
I'm not saying chances
are. I mean, it's
are.
A. It would be.
I've seen Northfield pull over at Ford Motor Company. I've seen our police pulled over at Northfield.
But there's not a speed camera there.
It's a good question.
I'm talking about going past the speed camera. If Oakwood is chasing them, they'll chase them until they stop. They're not going to mm-hmm. just say, okay, you know, you went to the speed camera. We're not going to catch you.
Right. And you know, Josephine, and that's a good point Katie made too, is remember there is an appeal process. So let's say you did get two tickets. You could come, and one is from the camera. Let's say you got one in Oakwood, and then you all got it at the same time, and they see you bring your ticket, because I'm sure that if Oakwood or Walton Hills is chasing you, chances of, or not chasing you, but pull you over, we're not very lenient with those, okay? You could come here and appeal it and show that you have two. The magistrate can make that decision.
Oh, okay.
Remember that there is an appeal process with the camera tickets. There's a magistrate here once a month at the end of the month on the last, I think the week of Thursday. Or is it the third?
It's a Thursday.
Thursday, either the third Thursday or the fourth.
Yeah, I know. I see it in the album.
Yeah, and they're here and they hear those type of cases. And that would be up to that magistrate if they feel it warrants that, then that would be their decision.
Okay. All right.
But good question.
Makes sense for me to go the other way. But
you know what it makes sense to do?
Don't
go to speed limit.
Yeah.
You go to speed limit, you don't have to worry about anything.
I don't speed.
Call an Uber.
I'm not saying you, I'm just saying
don't
everybody.
Speed, but they're speeding, so we have to catch them somehow.
Are you taking your dog up to the park when we're not?
I will not let my dogs off the property.
I know.
I will not take my dogs in the park.
Josephine, me and Josephine is one of those people that has a lot of dogs, and you know, we go to the lake, we would love to see people come down there, but we just know it's one of the rules, you know?
Why would I take my dog to the park? You get fleas, you get ticks.
Right. Horses are allowed, though.
They don't.
There's no sign.
I'm riding the brink.
No sign. No.
There's no horse sign.
No horsing around with no horse.
I might just buy another horse.
Yeah, no sheep, no goats, no bunnies, no
animals.
Well, there's a big difference between bunny droppings and horse droppings. in case you don't know. Just think, this is all on camera. It's all being recorded. It
should be on the news. These are our problems.
Any more persons having business before council?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer. Any council comments? We might as well go right there.
Under, I'm technically working under persons having business before council. I was contacted Mr. and Mrs. Mita on Alexander Road.
Yes.
And they were asking about the trucks driving down Alexander Road and how much noise they make. And they're unable to make the meetings due to other commitments that they have. But they sent me a letter and asked if I would read it in to the record for them. So this is per Art and Leanne Mita, 17312 Alexander Road. When we moved to Walton Hills some years ago, Alexander Road was designated a, quote, no truck allowed, quote, zone. Today, the signs that were posted have come down, and we are seeing more and more tractor trailers, piggyback semis, flying through the village. The noise and vibrations are annoying, but the problem getting in and out of our driveway and getting our mail is a potential hazard. Should I mention the condition of our road is deteriorating? Apparently, this change for a truck throwaway was initiated with the county to use Alexander as an access while a bridge was being repaired. The project never materialized, but the trucks are still coming through. If we were subsidized for this, then we have agreed to change our once quiet village to a commercial highway. Our neighboring villages, Oakwood and Glen Willow, have kept the no truck zones in place and enforce it as well. The businesses on or near Northfield Road have access to the freeway. No reason to use our residential roads. Isn't our location near freeways an attraction for new businesses? We spoke with Mayor Kolograf about our concerns this past winter. He noticed the change in truck flow and was alarmed at the amount of trucks traveling through the village. He indicated he would be working on the matter and would be in contact with us. We haven't read or heard anything to date. If and what we are we receiving in return for granting a designated residential road, local access for trucks, to be turned into a commercial highway. Due to the heavy loads on a daily basis, 7 days a week, is it unreasonable to believe that road repairs would be at least at a much faster rate? And who will be responsible to pay for them? Art and Leanne Mita. And I gave you a copy.
Right.
Already,
right,
Mayor. And I do have other copies if any other council member wants.
And I, Jennifer gave me that, and I told her I'll give them a call or have Rob or the thing. The only thing the only thing we could say is anybody that's been coming to the COW meetings the last 6 months, we've probably talked about it at every COW meeting here.
Yep.
Okay. So I just have to communicate that to Art and Leanne Mieta. Okay. But that's something I know we went through it. We talked about how the chief is sending some of the police officers to training to see what they can do as far as monitoring trucks, what they can do to spot trucks and pull over trucks they feel might be violating some laws. I know we got the engineers involved. We talked to the engineers. They said what Mr. Sheehy said. I know that's, well, I'll have to explain that. Maybe I can have Don explain that. That if you ever received any money, because it's a county road, it was always a county road. It wasn't that the village designated it as a county road. It was a county road already. So those are the things I can have Don maybe clear up too. But what Don said, if there was any money received, even if it was 30, 40 years ago from the county or any grants, and we try to impose certain things, they could actually come after us. As far as Oakwood and Glen Willow, I know Oakwood has a sign, but I'll have to follow up a little bit more on that. I know this is something that we've talked about, Mr. Nielsen. I know Jennifer also lives on Alexander. Paul Rich, who lives on Alexander, had concerns when he was on council. It's not falling on deaf ears. We're just trying to find a way within the law. You know, we're not happy about it. We know there's been increased traffic due to the Roxino, and some of it isn't related to the Roxino. It is trucks. some of the bridge repairs that have gone on in some of the other communities. So they've made this an alternate route, but then haven't gone back to using their old route. They continue to use our route. So I'll follow up with Art and Leanne, and also we can follow up with Rob. I know we talked about putting some signs. We had complaints about jake brakes, which is part of it, that some of the noise. We discussed it in this committee quite a bit. We talked, I think Rob has no jake brakes on order, some signs for that. So I'll just follow, but I wish I had an answer for him. It's an ongoing concern. So we'll follow up. If anybody else has any ideas or thing, you're more than welcome to contribute or let us know. I know, well, Fred doesn't live on Alexander, but close enough, but I know Jennifer does. And
well,
I'm a
right
lot of
there.
People.
I mean,
and know, I hear them where I'm at. I'm close hill. Too.
Yeah.
I'm real close. I hear a lot of stuff. So.
You can tell them that the chief is planning on sending for the classes, and hopefully, you know, we can at least, if we have, if we can, be able to pull them over and weigh them. And if we can't personally weigh them, then we can send them up to Carr Brothers and have them weighed. But, you know, I've looked at it every which way, and I mean, I've talked about if we took a section of the road and paved it ourselves and not took any money from the county, then they'd have to get maybe between North Meadow Park and Egbert, that section of the road they couldn't use. So they'd have to turn around and go back. But, I mean, I've looked at it every which way. I'm thinking, yeah. You know, and it's just, it's, you're butting heads against the county, and just like Don said, if we stop them, they can go back as many years as they want, and we'll have to reimburse them. We'll have to give them the money back for all the times that they paved Alexander Road. So what, you know, it's...
Well, let's continue. Yeah. I think what we need to do is continue to drive it and, right. And see things change. And
we're still looking at
people change and players change. And so let's, yeah, exactly. I appreciate
still,
that. So we'll keep doing, and I can do a
it's
follow up
yet.
At the next COW meeting with
it's
it.
Not over yet.
Yeah, there was years ago one that was coming from Hub Parkway and realized. It seemed that they realized they turned the wrong way, and they were trying to turn around on Notting Hill, so they pulled up Notting Hill. Mm-hmm. When they backed up, they took out my grandparents' brick mailbox. And they took off.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, we got a camera there now.
Well,
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
They won't get away with that now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like everything, you try to do something. We tried to slow down the people coming into the village, you know, going east. And so what happens? So the trucks hit their jake brakes and stuff because yeah. They're slowing down because of our speed camera. So you try to do some good, and then, you know.
It, create another problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so, but we don't take that lightly, and it's. Because it affects all of us, you know, we have our country home district where we all live, and nobody likes to see what, you know, you talk about just development. I can't even imagine what it was like when the Ford plant was really going, or did they not use Alexander? When there was 4,000 people up there, where did they go? They had to come down Alexander, correct? Or no?
Yeah, but it wasn't as, you'd be surprised. I mean,
really?
It was, we didn't. One time we had a blinking light. I mean, there was
no light there.
There was no
it was just a flashing light.
When there was 4,000 employees.
Yeah. Ford was running full.
It was.
And so 24/7. It was done on Alexander.
They were flashing lights. There was no
traffic lights.
The only traffic light was at Alexander Northfield,
and
that was only there because of Ford.
Right. Sit in his car with
this
the
place was
the boonies.
For
Northfield, yeah.
Because when I moved in 24 years ago, I think that there was about 1,400 employees there at that time. Would that make sense, Bill?
Yeah.
Probably 1,400, 1,500 employees, I think. maybe 16 at the most.
I said that flashing yellow light in front of the Ford right. company used to be in full operation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you'd sit there and shifts changed three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday nights, they gave away a free Cadillac at Northfield Park. We had to pay a policeman to sit at the corner and run the light because there were so many people. Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah. I just know, just from having the MGM up there, it's a lot. Yeah. I just know from pulling out of my development. Try pulling out at 5:30, or, you know, 6 o'clock, it's not the same, you know. It's
changed.
Okay, well, I'll communicate with them. And if anybody, we're all welcome to communicate, but I'll make sure I'll follow up with that.
Thank you, Mayor.
No problem. Thank you. Any other council comments?
Mayor, under council comments, I would just like to mention that on June 23rd, on behalf of Citizens League, they are having the Walton Hills Lake is having an open house that day. And Citizens League will be presenting their Citizen of the Year Award at 1:30. So if anybody would like to come up there, it is the open house for the lake. I believe they get the funds from CEI.
Oh, from NOPEC.
Yeah.
NOPEC.
So it's an open event to all residents.
Bless you.
And stuff there.
Okay, very good.
I hope it'll be warm enough to come.
Join the lake. Okay. Anybody else have any council comments?
Nope.
All right. Back to recreation, because we kind of were on recreation. So I know I meet Gloria talk, and we thought and Carol would be a good time to kind of have a recreation meeting, kind of the first quarter's done, maybe give an update where we're at. I know I have some residents asked about Community Day. Just mention that we're not, because as a body, when we put the budget together before the beginning of the year, we decided not to have a community day strictly because of finances, certainly not because we don't all enjoy it. I feel bad even for the young kids, because I know my kids, that was just like the great day to go up there. The only thing it was, they always felt it was the end of summer mm-hmm. that day. But it's something we want to bring back. I think we haven't done it the last couple of years strictly because of financial reasons. And so, Carol, if you would just want to give us an update, and we can, you know, and Gloria, we can just ask questions to you, and anybody else in the audience has questions, we can go from there. So go ahead. Yeah, come up to the mic. That's the best. Carol. If you just want to give us an idea where we're at.
What's
kind of what's, yep, that'd be great.
Okay, so the park program starts on Monday. And I don't even know how many kids we have, because we are still having kids signing up today. So it might be way over 80. It was what we
including
thought.
Including me.
And including Katie, who's a little bit behind in that sign up. But we have some trips coming up. The garage sale, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Should be good. I know... I love Community Day just as much as probably if not more than anybody, but I do have a concert on August 10th at TGN Park. It's a free concert. Anybody can come except for dogs.
and
it's the band Shout. They're always so fun. And just Women's Club is serving food from the concession stand. And just, you know, we don't have Community Day, but we can have this one day that anybody can come up there and have a good time, bring your lounge chair, and enjoy a concert, right?
Do you have a time?
It's at 7, 7 to 9.
That's a Wednesday, Carol?
It's August 10th. It's a Saturday.
And I have a wedding to go to.
Oh, sorry. You can
Carol,
take her there.
Didn't we? And we had the same thing last year, didn't you?
We did. We did have the same thing last year. Hopefully, more people will come. And
it was really fun.
It was fun. Really, it was. Everybody that came had a really good time. So, you know, it doesn't cost as much as Community Day, and it's still a day where we can all come up there. And it doesn't matter if you're a resident or not. You could bring your cousin or your aunt or whatever, and come up there and just have a good time and enjoy the park. And enjoy each other
and have food for the women's club.
Yeah.
Right?
She has.
No, but women's club probably will sell ice cream.
Are we having a wine garden? We had the wine garden one year. It was nice.
No, that was at Community Day. Yeah, it was beer and wine. Yeah, I don't know. That might be something I can look into.
We got glasses.
We did. And we still have some glasses left over, so maybe that's something we can look into. I don't know. We might be asking for trouble, though. Okay, so,
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Kara, can you tell me the last, when we did have Community Day, what the budget was for that, and what were we spending for that?
Well, I believe it was $35,000.
For one day?
About 30. Yeah, it was somewhere there. I did get some donations, and I was able to, you know, donations help a little bit, but you can't keep asking people for money, you know. But when I'm saying that, it's also everything. Generators, tents, tables, entertainment, fireworks, you know, it's a big business. And payroll, you know, we have the service guys, we have the kids, we have Carlene and I, we have, you know, generators and all that stuff. It's an expense. But it's fun.
Carol, did you have anything on your budget or where you're at or any on the finance?
For Community Day?
No, just overall where you're at.
Oh.
Are you within budget and all that?
Oh, I'm good.
She's about a third of her budget through the end of May, but a lot of your expense happens during the summertime, mm-hmm. especially payroll-wise with your seasonal employees. But Carol's always within her budget and does a very good job managing it. I would say that we're starting to go through the revenues for the Parker program. I saw closing out about $17,000. She said she has another $4,000. To recede in, so we're about mm-hmm. over $20,000 in
Parker
program fees.
Wow!
So mm-hmm. that's great.
Wow, mm-hmm. that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it will not completely offset the cost of the program. I know that's always
really
the next question, but it is very close to offsetting the cost.
Wow! Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tulip, Hickory,
I think they used to have a block party, didn't they?
Oh.
Tulip, Chestnut?
Yes.
You did?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
But we did not get tables from the community. We gathered all our own things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, the reason I'm thinking about that is I think that our community is starting to change. We are starting, some of the folks who built these homes are starting to move on to the greater reward. And so the houses are being sold. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see younger families move in. And that's terrific. But it also is an opportunity, I think, to encourage more interaction within the areas, within their kids. And so I saw this thing about Beachwood, and I thought, what a cool idea. To kind of encourage block parties and general block parties. And we're still talking, in our area, Tulip, Chestnut, Hickory, about having block parties at the end of the summer. So I throw it out as an opportunity to allow smaller neighborhoods to get to know people, get to know each other. And, you know, as we see the community change, and we are seeing the community change,
I agree.
Much younger families, and that's all great, but how do you create a way that those people know that they can have an opportunity to be included, et cetera? You know, lots of people in Baltimore who built their homes here and live here, they know what's going on. And then we have folks who don't.
True, and that is always, and you hope that they read the journal and the owl and look at the signs or come talk to their neighbors and say, gee, I have these three kids, what should I do with them? But, absolutely, but like if you had, I'm not even sure how a street thing works. I mean, you have to get people to block off a street, you have to get, but I mean it's a great idea, but are there enough, we could probably do it, Don. Why don't you plan one?
Brenda Lee used to have one all the time. The street Brenda Lee, they used to have block parties all the time. I know because I was invited to a few of them. But that's something we can put a little thing in our journal that, you know, something like that or something in the aisle to encourage people. You know, hey, have you ever thought in your neighborhood have a block party? You know, the thing, I guess, which is kind of tough here is, I mean, the few developments we do have, and like you have kind of a nice street that could warrant that, you know, some of the areas. But we certainly don't discourage it. I do know what Brenda Lee did. They would call the police department, talk to the police department, and let them know. And then they would, I think they would come out. They wouldn't block it right at the entrance just in case someone was coming in. They had like so many distances and stuff, probably like they did with you guys.
Basically stalkers.
Yeah, and they worked with you.
And we had a crazy neighbor one year, so they came and hung out with us, which was great. We didn't get any support from the village except that we called them and said we want to do a block party, and they said, okay, we'll raise some sawhorses.
Right.
These things are called barricades. But that's because we had it in my yard, right? I mean, it was centralized in my yard, so that's how it worked. So, that you know, somebody has to say, I want to make this happen, I want to do it. And we need, my thinking is to encourage people and make that kind of an option. And so if we had 10 tables, we could lend out, or 20 tables, it'll cost very much.
I know that the tables, like the tables and chairs in the community room, it was some kind of thing that they were not allowed to leave the building. But I know that there are some tables at the service.
My point is
Some tables that can be moved, like at the service garage, they have them. But I don't know that they have chairs. But they do have tables that can come. You know, we bring them up to the park at Community Day. We use them in different things. And that isn't something that is available, I believe, through the service
door. Yeah, and that's something we'd have to talk, because those are more indoor tables. Yeah. But maybe
No, they're not.
Oh, there is some outdoor tables?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But maybe we can, that's something with this committee, you guys want to talk about recreation, you want to talk about that and see, we can talk to Rob, see what tables we have. Maybe we need to purchase some tables, decide on what they have. I'll tell you, we'll have a hard time matching Beechwood. If you know anything about Beechwood, it's
right?
the richest. They still take your garbage out from behind your house. They do. I mean, I'm just saying, Lee. They're able to do so much for their residents. It's unbelievable. I wish we could offer all those things, but not a bad idea. That's an inexpensive thing. We'll look into it.
That's 120 million. How do we embrace?
Oh, that's awesome.
Right.
And be a part of the community. That's the energy that I have.
That's a great idea.
And, right. And it's inexpensive. Maybe we get
five. Everybody
brings
something.
And if we have tables,
whatever.
Maybe we just need to put it in the journal or the owl. Just put a little blurb in there and let people know. Okay.
I know. You can't have one on Edward Road.
North Meadow Park.
So the tables are all invited. One party, you're invited.
We'll have to talk about it, Carly.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor?
If the committee wants to continue to talk about that's fine. Go ahead, Gloria.
Wait a minute.
go ahead, Gloria.
We're talking block parties, but last Saturday night I was at Meet Your Neighbor Night at the lake. Mm-hmm. Everyone was invited to go there, and Mike, do you know how many people were down there?
Well, according to Tom, it was one of the largest crowds we had.
So that was an opportunity for people to meet their neighbors, and it was a lot of fun. We had karaoke, and we had food, and it was a potluck. And it was a way to, you know, anybody was in, you know, anybody in the village could come, and it was a nice time. And
it wasn't.
But there was a nice group of people.
I met some nice new young families. Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Good.
Hang on, Carol. Hang on.
When you come about tables and that, then I think then the next thing is, well, I'm going to have a shower.
Yeah,
Have some of your tables.
Yeah.
Or,
it maybe has to be a village event, a community event, not a personal event.
But like, maybe even without the table offering, we find a way to encourage people to do that. You know,
right.
We don't have to have tables necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think we have chairs to go with the tables.
Yeah.
I think it's just tables.
And they're all rented just about every day of every weekend. So.
How about a leaf blower or something I could buy?
Well, too bad it wasn't like in the 50s when every house had a porch. Because the people sat on their porch and they talked to their neighbor. You know, it's too bad America's not the way it used to be, but we got to keep encouraging, so that's a good idea, Lee. So let's
John,
let's.
A lot older than me,
yeah. Right. Hey, you know what, Bill? Go ahead.
No. I don't even know my neighbors.
No.
Nobody talks. Because they're too busy working.
Yeah.
In the morning, come home at night, close the door, and that's it.
Isn't
I really
that?
Don't know my neighbors.
Sad times. Yeah. Just to make Bill reach over, he said, just to give you an idea when we talk about Beechwood, they carry over $125 million a year in their budget, Bill said.
Yeah, you cannot compare Beechwood with
all. No, I know, but I just know that because working in that community and, you know, they just, you know, you got Eaton, you got University Hospital, you got such a large payroll tax there coming in.
Who can borrow a leafer from them?
Cousin.
For a small area, they just. Could you imagine? $125 million. Gosh.
I couldn't imagine.
We'd be driving you to and from wherever you want to go. And opening the door. Any other comments for Carol for recreation?
Yeah. But that's crazy. Makes me sad.
I know we talked about it with the ordinances too and stuff. Lori, are you good? Any other?
Yeah,
anybody
good.
Council have any? Residents have any comments?
Carol's doing a wonderful
job. That's another reason.
Josephine has a comment. Josephine?
I know Denny, Josephine, and Helga have a comment. Who wants to go first here? Or? Go ahead, Denny. I couldn't see who was first, so whoever wants it.
Denny Harkai, Hickory Drive. I think everybody here really likes the idea of Community Day. It's a fun place for time for everybody to get together. Obviously, the reason we haven't done it is because of the budget. We understand that. And we all agree. I was talking to Don earlier today that it's too late now to try to make serious plans for this year, but it's not too late to start thinking about how we can make it happen next year and perhaps not have it cost the village quite so much money. And I personally would be willing to volunteer my time and energy to help with the project. We have, in the OWL, we have 20 patrons that advertise. In the Journal, we have 4 patrons that advertise. These are people that are spending money on advertising in our community to get our business. I'm thinking that with a little bit of creative effort, we could raise some money. And it would be to the benefit of the business community and to the village as well. And this is something we'd have to sit down and talk about and plan it to make it really work well. But I'd be willing to go around to our patrons. I'm a bit of a salesman myself, and I know a little bit about business. And I actually believe that I could convince people to let's say, patronize, perhaps make donations. Now, people like to get something in return for that investment. And in summary, I think that we could perhaps put together some kind of a brochure, a leaflet, or something like that that gives recognition to our patrons. Might be possible to let them set up booths there in return for their investment. It could be possible to get a band who does music around the area and say to them, listen, here's an opportunity for you to advertise yourself. Why don't you do this as a gratis tonight, you know? Whether that would work or not, I don't know. But I think that it would be possible to raise, I don't know how much money, you know, based on relationships that we have with people. And I'd be open to, now's not the time to carry on a lengthy dialogue about that. I just wanted to bring up the idea of it possibly happening. And then sometime when there's a meeting of the Recreation Committee, then we could talk about a strategy and see if it makes any sense. These nice Waltonville shirts could be purchased from Coppell Advertising and sold for a profit. They also make a nice t-shirt that lots of people in the village might like to have. The lake might like to get involved. They had this lovely shirt that they could sell, and they would raise funds like that. There's lots of creative ways to raise money. I mean, $25,000 or $30,000 is a reasonable amount of money, but it's not that much, really, in some ways. And I don't know what portions of that expense went for what. Fireworks, for example, were how much? Does anybody know? Just a ballpark. How much fireworks?
4,000.
What is it, Carol? Do you know 5, off the top of your head?
Between 6,000 and 7,000, just what I get, not okay. What
all right.
Other places.
Right. Well, our normal fireworks were 6,000 to 7,000.
All right. So let's say, for example, we say, all right, listen, we're trying to economize. The next time, let's have the event, but skip $7,000 worth of fireworks, you know. Not that we don't enjoy the fireworks, don't get me wrong. But that brings it down to 24,000 if the budget is 30, and makes it a lot easier to raise that amount of money. And I personally would make this commitment, and I would challenge, for example, the council member. If every council member says, I'm in for 100, that's 600, I'll match your 600, we're up to 1,200 for starters. And let's take it from there. Any comments?
Very good.
Any comments? Suggestions? Talk to you about it later, whatever.
Go ahead. Anybody have any comments?
Okay.
No, I was going to say I wanted to see if council or the rec committee, anybody had any comments? Or?
Not right now, no. Just some.
Carol, did you want to?
I just say every year we send out letters for asking for donations for community day. One year we did pretty good. Got maybe 1,000. This past year it was like $550.
Well, I would take it way past that level. I'd get on one of my motorbikes and go knock on a door and actually have a talk with somebody and, you know, present to them the benefits of getting involved and of making a decent contribution. It would have to be somewhat aggressive, but hey, I'm retired now and I've got time to do that, and I'd be interested in helping on that. And one more thing that I wanted to mention that I forgot to mention, I got to give a lot of credit to the guys in our service department. That group of fellows has never disappointed me. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that ever stood behind that machine that breaks up the branches with a horrifying noise and the branches bouncing all over the place and the fumes and the dust and everything like that. I don't think anybody ever did that. But those guys, when they go to pick up the branches, I'll bet you each one of them bends over 500 times just picking up branches, throwing them in that machine, I don't know if anybody else in this room ever got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive a snowplow. I'll tell you what, that ain't easy. And that being said, I'm giving those guys an awful lot of credit for the service. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I've bought them lunch and contributed to their well-being, trust me. I think it's my opinion, you guys can do whatever you want. I don't think you do budgets until, what, October? It's I would appeal on their behalf, and they didn't ask me to do this. In fact, Rob told me not to do it, but I told him I was going to do it anyway. I think those guys should get a raise, and they should get a raise real soon. Comments on that? Okay. Thank you.
The comment I can say is I feel all the employees do a great job. I feel the service department does a great job. I feel this council feels that way too. And we looked at raises. It wasn't, and you know, I met with the service employees. I went up there and met with them because they had some concern. And a lot of the employees, sometimes they're unsung heroes, like you mentioned, like a lot of the employees here. And they might not be out there as much as, let's say, the policemen or the firemen. And I did express to them it certainly wasn't about performance, why this body and myself here, they didn't receive a raise this year. It wasn't about that at all. It was strictly budgetary reasons. They're great with that, and I'm hoping as we move forward here and maybe things get better and as we build a little more in our reserve that we can do just that, even if it's just a almost, I'm not going to say a cost of living, but a small percent increase, because they certainly, their bills are there, and then we also have to be competitive, because if we're not competitive, we're going to lose our good employees too. So we understand that, and I think we've done a good job of explaining that to our employees, and we want to give them a good work environment too. Good equipment, good work environment, and competitive pay. So we're aware of that. But I appreciate that. I don't know if anybody else wants to make a comment in regards to that or any of that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Jennifer.
Our employees overall are exemplary. I honestly believe that they all go above and beyond their call of duty. Carlene, I can see lights before Christmas still in the community center because she's on a 10-foot ladder decorating a tree. You know, doing this. Rob goes and picks up garbage and has the guys pick up trash when, for whatever reason, the garbage doesn't get picked up. You know, I think they all, if I could, they deserve more than just a cost of living increase. The other thing that I really think is exemplary about them is they're a family. And I think they understand the dire straits. We're not as dire right now, but we still need to build up a savings. We can't just end the year in the black. We need to start adding back to our savings also. And I think, and I hope, that they know we believe that they're a family and that they're sticking with us through the lean times right now. You know, a lot of them have been here for decades. You know, I went to school with Dan Chattel, who started working here right after high school. You know, so they've stayed a long time. And I truly hope they do know how much we really do appreciate them and how much it's noticed, everything that they do. It really is.
And when you hear stories, people buying a lunch and stuff, that's great. And they do appreciate that. So, anybody else? Well, we're going to move out of recreation then. Did you have something? Oh, yeah, come on up. I'm sorry.
It's really, you can put my husband's name on the cell towers. Everybody in this building's can control.
That's coming up.
I can't get out.
Right.
So what is the status on cell towers?
Well, that's our next item.
Discussion.
We were gonna talk about. So item 8 is discussion on small cell towers. I know we put that moratorium on it, okay, and it's still on. We had the large packet we were all reviewing. I just put it on there to keep it going. I know me and Bill were talking about it, and he's going to go through it along with Rob. There's some things. His office is going to go through it, tweak. If anybody else has any, I want to see how council felt. You know, we can... I don't know, Bill might have it ready for next Tuesday, if not maybe the following Tuesday, if we do want to maybe pass it. And so that's part of this, and then we can kind of talk to that question. But I don't know, so if anybody has anything or wants anything else to look forward to. Talking with the other mayors, most of them put in effect what we have there, because as you know, it's very detailed and very extensive, and just tweak things like Bill's office would do and Bill would do, along with Rob, just to cater it to Walton Hills. So that's something I was thinking. I know we wanted to be aggressive with it and get it done. I know we have time, but I just wanted to keep it out in the forefront. I didn't know. I know me and Mary talked a little bit as council president about pushing it a little bit. So how everybody feels, and then we can go into kind of where we're at with why we're putting that moratorium. If you, does anybody have anything you want to kind of talk about that?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I was just thinking that reading through that one for, I believe it's Cuyahoga Heights, that's really quite complicated, and I'm thinking that's good, because if it's complicated, it's going to be hard for them to meet all the criteria. And I'm all for making it as difficult as possible for this to happen. So as the mayor said, tweak it. You know, they have a historic district. They mentioned those kind of things. We don't have that. Just cater it to fitting our village's needs and make it as tough as possible. This past weekend, we drove out of town just up to Michigan, parts of Michigan, and I have become so much more aware of those towers. And I've seen them in farmers' fields, and it's funny because you don't really notice them. I mean, you're driving by, but they're there. But now that I'm cognizant of this, I'm saying, Mike, look, there's another 5G tower, you know. So, I mean, I know we can't get away with it forever, but as long as we can keep it away, I think it would be great.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think last time when we discussed this, I said that I think it would be proactive to, you mentioned Rob, but the police chief, even Carol, read it, because they're looking at it through different eyes with their job, that they maybe find some other things maybe that we did not,
right,
you know, did not think about, you know, the department heads. It is very complicated, and just something, you know, could strike a chord, you know, that we maybe didn't think about. They read what Bill comes up with, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
I agree with you, Mary. I think make it as restrictive as possible so we can keep a handle on it as much as possible. And it was funny that you said historic districts in that legislation that they had, because my thought process was, what can we do with where we butt up against the metro parks? You know, do we have the right to restrict that area, or does that fall to the Metro Parks area? You know, we've got the access on Alexander mm-hmm. Road, we've got on Egbert Road. So I was just curious about that, if that's something that we would have to handle, or if the Metro Parks themselves would have to handle that, and I wanted to bring that up. Because there's really no power source in those areas, you know, necessarily for them.
My thought off the top of my head would be is that we're not going to be able to really restrict it, but kind of control it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't matter if it's on the Metro Parks, it's just gonna be to the village. Mm-hmm. So wherever that may fall. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I would just hate to see them lining this.
Mr. Mayor, as I was saying, we were traveling, and in one area, as I said, I saw it in the farmer's fields, and I thought, I wonder how much they paid him or her to, I'm sure he got a pretty penny to put that.
Not necessarily if it's in the right of way.
Was in a field, though. Well, I don't know. But I just thought they were making money.
Could be.
You know, so.
And just for refreshing our thoughts on this, this Cuyahoga Heights ordinance comes from basically Walter Haverfield, they created it for about as a model for many communities. So a lot of them have passed exactly this statute, and they worked on it with the same things in mind, you know, just to try to control this as best as you can, because it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I saw it.
You know, I don't know if that answered. I know you were mentioning that you weren't getting good. So, is that was that it? That you weren't getting good reception?
No, where we live, we actually drive out with the car to an open area, like across from the beauty company there.
Right.
And then I can use my cell phone. I can even call Drew.
Right.
But I. Anywhere. He goes to the street, tries to make the call. He goes up the hill, tries to make the
head.
He's in the dead zone. And it seems like nowadays, everybody seems, I have a phone.
Right.
Everything goes over the phone. The alarm and the siren is going to be over the phone. Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, all those things, I mean, I couldn't care less. I just like to have my quiet life. Get rid of all that stuff while I drive in the new car, which drives all that way, because I don't need all that stuff.
Right.
But it's the
matter. Right. Well, you know, how the conversation, as you know, we had one resident, I don't know if either one of you were here or some of us were here, and they brought up the 5G, and their concern was, you know, one reason why the communities are looking at restricting it is just because they want to put a lot of them in a lot of the right-of-ways and the easements, and the communities want to have control, but they don't want to have these small cell towers every 10 feet, every, none of us want that. But the resident who came up here, they opened up another thing, which was a concern is, and you can Google it, is the 5G, some people feel it has a lot more
it's radiation.
Health side effects, because the radiation penetrates the skin, and there's a lot of debate on that and stuff. So, but that's different. But you are right. There's this office here. You can't use a cell phone in this office. I have to walk out into the parking lot and go into the back parking lot. I can't use a cell phone here. There is one spot kind of in front of the computer. If they catch me just right, I can kind of stay there. It's no kidding. I get two bars, and I can think. And then they're saying, I got to tell everybody, I got to call them back on the hard line. I think some people think, you know, I'm putting them on the tap or something, you know. But that's very true if you call this office. I don't know how many times I'll tell you, I'll call you back on your phone because I get no reception in here. But so just to kind of answer, what we're looking at, you know, the 5G would give everybody a lot more reception, and you pick up a lot more things because it does penetrate a lot more. But aesthetically, we were looking at things. Plus, we're also concerned about the health reasons. I had a resident approaching me. When are you going to push the 5G thing? And I mentioned to this resident the other about the health side, which they never heard of, and we're kind of shocked by that. And it really raised eyebrows because they, are aware of, very concerned about some of the health issues, not related to that, but other health issues, and they were shocked by that. And I actually said it was a young resident who brought it up, who has a young child and was concerned about the health issues. So there's a lot to that 5G. The thing we do know, it's probably already, it's happening. You know, it's hard to stop technology, let alone even slow it down. So what we're doing is we got an ordinance that we're trying to finalize. We put a moratorium, and what it would do with this ordinance, it would at least give us some teeth to kind of regulate how they are installed. Some permitting, and we're pretty much doing what a lot of the other communities are doing. Some are where we're at, some haven't done anything, and some have already passed ordinances. We're kind of right in the middle, just from me communicating with some of the other mayors. So, go ahead, Josephine.
Why is it that Walton Hills is like in a dead zone? I mean, people come over my house with expensive homes. They cannot get reception, but you go out of Walton Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there, didn't we have a tower or something that was sold? I mean, there's got to be some reason why
I don't have this problem. I talk to people in other areas. They don't have the problem. It's just like what wheels. I don't understand.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead. I couldn't.
Technology, why don't we have a main tower that people could use their cell phones? Doesn't make sense.
Josephine, I think there's areas of the village, and your area of the village is affected more by it. And I think it also has to do with the carrier that you have of your cell phone. My parents' house can be a dead zone also, but if my phone is in my purse sitting on the bar stool at the kitchen counter, I will get every single text that comes through. If I move it to the table, I get nothing whatsoever.
Okay,
you know, there's specifically one spot, but
getting rid of their landlines. I think we got to find out why. Because a lot of people get rid of their landlines because they got their cell phone. If they don't have reception, then instead of worrying about these little cell things, got to find out what happened to the tower.
Well, again, I know that there's areas of the village that are very specific.
Well, the towers are up to the provider. We don't supply towers to the Joseph.
We own
a cell phone tower that we own, but anybody that had anything on it, they were leasing space for it. So they can lease that space from who owns it now, or they can put up a tower themselves. We weren't providing a cell phone tower. We might own the cell phone tower and got, you know, amounts from the lease, but we weren't providing that. So you know what I'm saying? Still Verizon or whoever, I don't know who, if they even were one of the lessees, were providing that. That's up to them. And they're going to put towers where it benefits them the most. Maybe we're an area. I could find out. I mean, we can ask thing. That's been going on for a long, long time. You know, it's kind of like what happened with us with Wi-Fi and everything. You know, all our cable, we can only get Spectrum because nobody wanted to make the investment for the small amount of homes we have because the infrastructure would cost more than what the return would be. See, we pay for that country home living.
Pardon?
We pay for that country home living in some ways. But I think it's a I'd rather have the country home living. You got me on that one, Josephine. Well, yes, it is.
There was no limitation on how many horses you had. Now we go to the
AGL. Good luck finding communities that still in Caga County where your restriction is 40,000, your lot size is 40,000 square feet in Caga County. That's not easy to find.
You have to move to the other.
Still
account.
Two horses per acre.
Okay. Anything? So, how's council feel about
good.
You know, see what we can do with the cell phone?
You had two and the one died.
Okay, Bill.
I'll try to have it for you for Tuesday or by Tuesday. I'm sorry.
So we can we'll have
right,
for so a
you
week.
Can look at it.
Yeah,
that we can check it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Any more discussion on the cell phone towers? Any more questions from the residents? Okay. Other business. I know we talked about term limits of committee members, such as Planning Commission. Just kind of wanting to keep that out there. That's something that we should revisit. Zoning planning. I know there was some discussion whether or not we want to break, if council wants a break for July and August, that thing we do, me and Katie were talking earlier, would have to pass the tax budget, and that usually is done in July. We've had special meetings for it, or if it can get done, maybe we could pass it in the last meeting in June.
That would be good.
So that would be something for council to think about. I know on our website it says that council recesses in July and August, but some years we have, some we haven't. And some years we've had called meetings, and we've had even more meetings in July and August by recessing than we did by having them. And that's just because of things have come up.
Well, And that's always an option, correct, Mayor?
Yes.
I mean, if something comes up and we need to, even if we're on recess, with just proper notice, we could still have a meeting. So.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That,
well, know. Mr. Mayor, then if Katie can do this and get it together, maybe we can vote on it this month.
Get it.
Poor Katie.
I'll try to get it together.
I know. I know. If possible.
No, I should. I feel confident I can have a draft ready by next week for everyone to review. I mean, it's really just a formality. This isn't the budget for next year. It's just a very rough draft of it. You have all voted on it before, so okay. Except Fred. Sorry, this will be your first one. But it's basically stating that we would like to keep our millage where we placed our increase for this year, and justifying why we still need that. So that's what it is for.
And Katie has some motivation, too, because she has to come to these meetings, too. So
I do.
there's a little bit of underlying there.
And I love that. I do.
So we can talk about that in the next...
I'll get a draft together for next week.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good. Okay. Anybody else have anything that they wanted to talk about? That's the only things I had under other business.
What is it?
Are we good?
Yep.
Motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Yes.
Councilperson Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
COW meeting, COW meeting of Tuesday, June 4th, 2019, adjourned at 8:51. Thank you, everybody.